Hi, and welcome to the Indie Music Podcast, the podcast for independent musicians and other music professionals. We're your hosts, myself, Matt Denton, also known as Mojo, of Ragged Birds Music. I'm a recording artist and mix engineer. And Douglas Reynolds of Resonance Studio, a mastering and recording engineer. Maybe my Lua just doesn't like to be on all day. I don't know. You know, it's the LCT-240 Pro. Cool.
I would really like to have that microphone. Better the 440, I think it is.
It wasn't very expensive. It was only like 125, yeah. 130 bucks.
I love their microphones. If you, you know that the 640 Rex that I bought? Dude, so nice. Oh my God.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. I've only had a chance to use it on kick drum right now so far.
Okay.
And for live sound reinforcement, I haven't got a chance to record anybody in a long time. So, but
of course.
Wow. I absolutely love that microphone. So,
well, it's, you know what? It's a good excuse for you to like get different mics and set them up in your studio with different cabs and kind of, you know, play around to find out what works for next, yeah. So that you're ready to go next time.
And I think they got the other one, which is like a 340, I think, which is kind of a kick mic or a low frequency mic. I want to get one of those for the floor toms. You know, God forbid if I needed another one, if I had a drummer and a bass player in here at the same time, you know, but the amount of recording that I'm doing is so small. I mean, it's like I would have to like get a job in advance and then buy what I need in order to do the job.
Right.
Because stocking up on stuff just doesn't make sense, especially right now.
Depending on the job, you can do that sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I mean, I try to invest back into the studio with every job I do, you know?
Yeah. Which is smart. But pay yourself first and then invest in your studio.
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
Pay myself. What? I'm supposed to pay myself?
Now, I'm only doing vocal recording. So it's such a tricky business with vocal recording because, you know, you have to match the mic to the singer. And it doesn't really help if you have like an expensive mic, but it doesn't work for that singer. So then, like, what do you do? So how do you, you know, you either have a selection of like the basic ones that everybody has so that you can, you know, figure out which one goes with them. You know, there's a lot of, you know, ones that are standards, right? Or copies of standards, good copies of standards that you'll never be able to afford. But if I had the wherewithal, I'd probably go with one of those Slate, you know, the ones that you can.
Oh, yeah. I don't know the model number of that one, but that's the.
The one where you can.
The emulation.
Yeah, it's like a real flat response, but then it has software that makes it emulate every other, mic.
That's so cool that technology's come so far, and it's happened so fast, just like in the last, 3 to 5 years, I think. Neat stuff. So did you find yourself like dragging ass to get to the podcast, you know, or?
I kind of did. I've been dragging ass all week anyway.
Yeah.
It's so weird because this week has like slipped by. I've had all this stuff to do and, today's Thursday, right? I mean, it's already Thursday and I'm looking at my to-do list that I made Monday morning. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. I gotta say, I've been like super excited about it all day. I was like looking forward to, getting in the chair and getting next to the microphone and getting this thing going today.
Well, that's good because yesterday you weren't so much like that.
Yesterday it was, thank you, Lord. I just didn't want anything to do with any extra stuff to do yesterday evening. It was great.
Well, I thought yesterday was Tuesday, so I was really not mentally prepared. I always enjoy this. This time I did kind of have to wrap my head around the topic and kind of go, wait, where were we again? Because I've been in work head mode all day.
Yeah. Well, I'm sort of segueing into that in a way.
Yeah. No, I feel that coming.
Come on, I like to really creatively bring us into the topic every week.
I did have to kind of warn my kid who just was like spontaneously practicing his trumpet out of nowhere.
You know, why don't you bring him in? Bring him in.
No, he stopped.
Bring him in. Tell him, come on in. Let's record him. Let's get him on the podcast.
Next time. He's working on charts right now.
I guarantee you he'll never play while you're recording again.
Probably. I recorded him the other day for a song, so that should be interesting.
I figured if we could embarrass him somehow.
He can sight read. He sight reads, and so he's telling me that he's looking at all these charts because he's playing all these charts from that he picked up from when he was in high school and was just like doing for fun charts. So he has all these like, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean themes and stuff. So he's playing them now. He's like, these are wrong. This is in the wrong key. I'm going to have to transpose this. And I'm going to, like, you go, dude. you put in those missing notes and fix that key. And hey, whatever gets you off of the GTA and gets you back in front of a mic stand.
Well, what got you in front of the mic stand tonight?
I just enjoy doing the podcast. I wanted to, you know, get back in the swing of things.
So is you know, that enjoyment, that thing that you like to do, is that part of the motivational process? Is that what gets you moving?
Motivation is a many-headed beast.
Yeah.
I get motivated to do this just because I think it's fun. I think it's fun to kind of riff on a topic, and I always enjoy talking to you. What brought you to the mic today?
Well, I like coming in absolutely unprepared and just riffing on stuff and see where things go, because it's definitely fun, and it always seems to work well with talking to you, because that just sort of like happens. You know, it's fun. So
it is fun, because it's kind of like you kind of have to activate a different part of your brain that, you know, I feel like it kind of lies dormant underneath, like waiting to spring into action. Like, oh, good. I can talk about music and school stuff.
Well, it's kind of like anything else. You sit down with your guitar, or you sit down at the mixing desk, or whatever, you know, whatever your situation is, and a switch kind of flips and all the stuff that you had been dealing with or worrying about earlier kind of goes away, you know what I mean? And you're sort of brought back into the moment and whatever it is that you're working on. This podcast is like that. So for me, you know, everything other than the fact that I'm mentioning it right now and it makes me think of it, but, you know, that I was working on earlier, you know, kind of goes away.
Right.
Yeah, and I like that, because that, you know, being in the moment of what we're doing and, you know, just, you know, what we're talking about right now has just happened spontaneously. It's improv, man.
It is improv. I like that too. And I think that what you're talking about is the ideal case, which is where you kind of melt into that space and you let the thing happen, and you flip into that other kind of realm where you're doing the thing and you lose time and you lose whatever was on your mind before. And that's kind of like your happy zone, your happy place. Yeah. Sometimes it's not like that though. Sometimes it's like, even with stuff that you love and love to do, sometimes there's that resistance or that, oh, God, I don't want to practice, or I don't want to play, or I don't want to do that right now. And I have some thoughts about that too, and some thoughts and some questions about that.
That's why, you know, for me, I need to make that stuff a priority and do it first. Oftentimes the problem is that I've done so much other stuff in front of getting to the point where I have maybe the time to do that, but I no longer have the energy. I no longer have the mindset.
Right.
And it's the end of the day. I'm tired and whatever. I need to prioritize that in a way that I put it ahead of those other things. And
yeah,
if I don't do that, then I end up, you know, a lot of times, you know, sacrificing what it is that I'd really wanted to do for all the things that I did in front of it.
I mean, yeah, you just described like 10 years of my life right there. I think describing like a lot of people's situation, you know, you work, or you parent, or you work and you parent, and then, you know, you got nothing left. There's nothing left in the tank. You're mentally drained. You're emotionally drained. You got nothing left in the tank for the thing that you were putting off that was supposed to be your dessert, and now you're full.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah. What do you do with that?
You know,
it's not that you're unmotivated. It's just you got nothing left.
Yeah. I mean, I've come down to the studio to try and work on some stuff I'm writing.
Right.
When I'm absolutely exhausted, you know, and I've done it enough times to know that that's not productive time for me to try and do that, because I'm not in a state of mind where creativity happens for me.
Right.
That's not to say it doesn't for other people. Maybe other people are absolutely creative when they're completely exhausted. Maybe that's when that happens for them. I don't know.
Well, I think there are times when you get into the thing that you want to do, and it gives you life, it gives you energy, because you get into it and you're like, oh yeah, this is really sparking my interest, it's, you know,
right,
it's doing it for me. I'm not sure that always happens, but I know it can happen.
Sure. And I think it just depends on what's next, you know. I mean, is sleep, where's sleep in the priorities at that point in time? Because that's usually when, it's usually late at night when I'm at that point, and I need to make a decision whether or not I'm going to, you know, this is going to continue on into the next day, or if, you know, if I want to try and start anew.
Yeah. And I find for myself, and you have to know yourself, are you a night owl? Are you a morning person? I'm a morning person. And so I get up early and do these things quietly in the wee hours of the morning when everybody else is asleep. And I have my right now, you know, when the boundaries are fluid, I like, okay, I'm not going to start work until X time. And before that time is my time. And I'm going to do my stuff and I'm going to be creative. And I have my intention and I wake up and I go, here's my class materials or my songwriting or whatever my intention is for the next morning that I set the night before. Yeah. I do that thing. But even sometimes lately I've been flagging on that a little because, like, you know, I'm wiped out.
Yeah. So would you say that some key fundamentals of motivation are intention and prioritization?
I think those are definitely tools. In my book, those are tools because setting that intention, especially when you wake up in the morning and you've set that before, then it takes away that hesitation. It takes away that time that you spend spinning, oh, I have some time. What should I do? I have some time. What should I do? And so then you end up doing nothing, wasting the time. And I had a theory about this, and I think, I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast, but about how decision fatigue really is a big factor in all of this. It's a factor in time wasting. It's a factor in how you spend your energy during the day, especially your mental energy, because, you know, your brain is your biggest calorie user. And if you use a lot of calories in your brain burning energy on decisions or even deferring decisions, which is also a decision, all those open loops are exhausting. And if you don't make decisions and move on, then it adds up. And I was experimenting with making decisions and being good with them and moving on to the next thing and seeing how much more energy I had at the end of the day. And then I kind of didn't make that a habit, lost track of that. But I think that that's a good path to try to follow.
Yeah. So what do you think makes the difference between a highly motivated person and a person who's lacking motivation?
Well, I think...
What is it? What is motivation?
I think organization has a lot to do with that. Prioritization has a big lot to do with that. Because when you're spinning, when you can't decide on what you're doing, when you can't... When you feel overwhelmed, I've been told that overwhelm is really just a lack of prioritization. It means you can't decide what to do next. So that when you have that time, you should already have decided what you're going to do with the next block of free time that you have, so that you don't spend your block of free time deciding what to do and then it's gone. I've had that happen. I think we all have. Yeah. So I think being organized and knowing what to do next takes a lot of that spinning out of it. It takes a lot of that, you know, that that mental energy that you, when you churn, you know.
Let me challenge you here, because I would argue that organization is akin to a tool, just like prioritization and intention is.
Okay.
It's not necessarily the root of motivation.
Okay.
It's something that use to help with motivation.
I see where you're going. So I would say that the root of motivation is having your goals aligned and with your priorities.
I'm on it.
Oh, I just activated.
What you said?
Just activated my phone. It's awesome. Talking to me. Shh, phone, stop that.
I'm over here.
I know where you are, my God. Phone. Shut up, Siri.
Yeah. Hey, Alexa.
I'm new to the iPhone. This is... I have to watch what I say around.
We got some commercials around my area that they say, hey, you know, or they're saying, hey, Siri.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
You know, I want to go strangle those guys. Yeah, seriously.
That's rude.
It is rude.
I think for motivation, I think knowing what your goals are and having those be in line with your real passions. Which is something that I wanted to ask you about, which is that how do you know when you're just tired and need a break and are overwhelmed versus when, you know, that feeling when you just don't want to do something? How do you know when it's just being overwhelmed and tired versus maybe that's something you shouldn't be doing? Maybe that's not a real passion of yours or something that maybe you misinformed yourself that that's something that you should be doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, am I sitting on the couch flipping through apps on my phone and diving deep into social media? You know, well, obviously,
I think we all do.
I probably could be doing something better with my time, you know.
I mean, if you wrote something on your to-do list, I know we never write, spend 3 hours on Twitter on our to-do list. Right. We never write that.
But you know what? My to-do list doesn't, okay, my to-do list is timeless. And I leave that open-ended. It's things I need to get done. And then I leave it up to myself to go, I need to get this done. This is my priority, whatever.
Oh, do you ever check on that like and say, okay, what am I going to do today?
Yeah, so I look at I know the things that I have to do, and I've got a list of things, and the priorities of those things change as things age or
right.
or things drop off the list and new things come on, and I just allow that to be in the moment. What is it that it could be? What do I feel like doing?
Right.
Or it could be what do I got to get done because
right.
I have an obligation to others or something which drives more. Than obligations to myself most of the time.
Yeah, I feel like there's always the want to do list and the have to do list.
Yeah, there definitely is, you know, and those items on the list change over time.
Sure.
And sometimes things that are on the list don't get done because they just don't make it, you know.
Well, that's where I'm getting at. It's like, so those things that don't get done, they keep getting pushed to the next list, to the next list.
That's,
are those things that perhaps do they not matter
or nah, did you only backlog, you know?
Think that you wanted to do it?
I mean, you could say, I'm going to put this on, well, I'm just, the word I just said, backlog, if you think right. about it, you know, so you've got your active stuff and you got stuff you want to do and things that would be great, but they're not necessities.
Right.
And you could do what you want. You could leave them up in your active list, or you could put them into an inactive list of things that you'd like to maybe come back to later.
The someday maybe list. Yes.
Yeah. You know, where you have like some type of technical debt. You've got a slow period where you can pick up some things maybe, and you go back to that backlog list.
Oh, yeah, hey, I have that, good? Like a to-learn list. I do that.
Sure.
And I keep all and these so
those aren't trouble. Those aren't active things. They're lower in priority, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They don't depend. No one else is really depending on those. Those are probably like personal things that you'd like to do because they would be convenient.
Sure.
So it might save you a little bit of time. How big of a deal would that be for me to do something that will save me a few minutes a day? It'd be cool, but, you know, I'm getting by with what I'm doing right now. So,
yeah, there's always kind of that, you know, the price performance thing
yeah.
with systems and, you know, self-optimization.
Right.
You know, there's also that, you know, you've seen the quadrant where there's like urgent and important, not important, urgent, but not, you know what I mean? That.
Yeah.
I forget how it goes, but the stuff that's like not urgent and not important, because urgent means it's timely, but it may not be the important stuff. And I find that we always get caught up, especially if you're like me, my downfall frequently is my email inbox, my work email. I'll sit in my work email and deal with anything that comes in rather than doing the projects and the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing. So then that's like the definition of dealing with the urgent versus the important. If you know you have a project that has to be worked on, you have to block the time out for that
yeah.
and ignore the email, because the email is just like a constant, it's like social media, it's just like a constant feed of stuff
yeah.
demanding your attention.
I do
important.
Email in blocks.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, I think.
And I catch up, I get inbox zero every morning.
Nice.
And then I don't have set times, but I get a feel for how many, I get notifications that I got emails. So I do keep those coming.
Yeah.
I just don't go look at them, you know, and I get the like growl notifications that come up.
Okay.
And I see an excerpt of
so like
what the message is.
Yeah.
And I look at it and I go, no, I don't need to respond to that right now.
Right.
But maybe I get one that I do. And I go, yeah, that's a higher priority one. I actually need to deal with that now. And so I pick and choose that way. And if nothing comes in, then I deal with everything. And to be honest with you, most of it is select all. And mark is red.
Right.
Because yeah, you go through and it's like, you know, I have like system notifications and different things and other just daily reminder kind of things and stuff.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff is not stuff that you actually have to deal with, but it does require you deciding whether you have to deal with it or not.
Yeah. Like so I have automated processes run that clean out all the Peaks files off my computer and do right. that on a regular basis. And I set it up to give me a notification of that.
Yeah.
My own computer sends me an email that says that, hey, we did this. Because it's just because it was easy to set it up that way to
do
that.
You must be an IT professional.
Oh, it could be. But it cleans up all those audio files, and that cleans up space. But I want to know that it happened, you know, so I give myself an alert. But I definitely don't need to go deal with that email at that moment, right. You know, and delete it.
Yeah, I like the idea of time blocking your emails because they are just such a – they're a time, they're not only a time suck, but they really – they cause decision fatigue and they're emotionally exhausting. And really 80% of it, no matter who you are, I think 80% of it just doesn't need to be dealt with or has really anything to do with you.
The whole paradigm today is working with clients and colleagues in real time in chat. And which is where I'm at. You know, so there's a lot, almost anything that could have been done previously in email just happens through the course of what others might consider sitting across a desk from someone else or in the cubicle next to them or whatever. And for me, it's in the channel or
they're on Slack or they're on Zoom or they're somewhere else.
And that's where all that is happening. And so there's a constant flow of communication going on there all day. I don't know if it's in the way or if it's facilitating work. It's probably some of both, you know. There's a lot of answering questions or reaching out to ask questions, to gather information and things like that that are necessary in order to complete something where I need to contact one of the artists that I work with to find out what their schedule is and, you know, or to ask questions about the files or production questions and things like that. So
do you schedule follow-ups?
Not unless... If I know that I'm going to need to, then I do. But it's not something that I just do automatically.
Yeah.
And that stuff I try to make as real time as possible as well. And, you know, that might mean more like within half a day or something like that, you know. But where that's an email or that's a message that goes out, like a direct message. And I work in all kinds of different ways. I work with clients in, you know, in Twitter direct messages, or I work with, you know, in Slack or, you know, all over the place. So it just depends. I just work where's the client. I work where they are, you know. Sure. I just make myself available in lots of different places.
So that's a lot of information channels. That's a lot of interruptions. That's a lot of stuff. So I guess, though, there's focus time blockout. Yeah. So. I mean, does that all kind of... I feel like that kind of stuff, all that constant barrage of information, whether it's work or not, is just, it's going to be an emotional and mental drain. And
by the end of the day. It's absolutely necessary to block times that are dedicated to focus time is what I call them. So this is, and so I have, and I have my lunchtime is blocked out. Okay. And this is, I'm not working here. I don't take meetings during that time, and that's my time.
I think that's smart, and I think I do that, but it's not the same time every day right now because
I have a window.
My time's a little fluid.
I have a window, and I will accept meeting invitations if they work within the window.
Yeah,
that I'm at, you know, because I have like an hour and a half. I'm going to take lunch somewhere inside this hour and a half block that I have, and I just have that block on my calendar Monday through Friday every day, and. So if someone wants to schedule a meeting that comes into the first 15 minutes of my block, cool, I'll attend that meeting. Or the last 15 minutes it starts in my block, I can do that. So I just start earlier in my window, you know?
Yeah.
And so I can remain a little bit flexible there. But I'm not going to, if someone tries to schedule a meeting with me down the middle of my block, I'm not going to break up my lunch hour in half to do that.
Yeah.
We
can see why you're motivated to take lunch and not have that be interrupted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to have your personal time.
You have to, because it's very important to have, it's important to have that time that's just for you.
How many problems have you solved when you walked away from your desk?
Oh, we've talked about that before. Yeah. Many problems.
And I use that time, you know, and I need to get away from that time for my mind to it's like this garbage collection time.
Yeah.
And I exercise then every day.
Yeah,
we've talked about all that.
Yeah, and I like to do that in the morning, but today I had so many Zoom meetings I didn't get to exercise until 4 p.m. It's kind of whack, but so I threw this out to the group the other day, and it sounded like I was not alone in having the feeling that from one day to the next, one day I can feel unmotivated to do anything. And then the next day feel like I want to do everything all at once and get frustrated that I can't.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to put my finger on. What is that? You know, what is the difference that causes the root of having motivation or not?
I don't think it's a simple answer. I think sometimes it's just, you know, did you get enough sleep? Did you get enough healthy food to eat? Did you, you know, get enough time to yourself to have some brain space to come up with the things that you want to do? And sometimes I think part of it may be just cyclical. And I think maybe some of that is just the weird up and down nature of a creative. But, one of the things that I wanted to say was that I think that right now it's okay to not want to do everything. I mean, we see a lot of people, you know, hopping on, doing live stream music and writing songs and doing all of these things at home. They're being very creative, coming up with TikToks and have all this time. And not all of us have all of this free time to do creative stuff. And I don't know how many people besides me are feeling kind of like frustrated, like they wish they had the time. Not that I'm not completely grateful for still being able to work from home, but I do feel like we have to remember that this is there's a lot of complex emotions that we have right now. We are kind of in a collective, I want to say like a weird anxiety ridden kind of grieving period for the future that we don't know what that's going to be, and all of the present stuff that we've lost at least temporarily, and we don't know what's coming next. And there's a lot of complex emotions, and I think it's okay to take some time to just be with yourself and be with your emotions and deal with that and not feel like you have to be productive and not feel like you have to produce something, especially your magnum opus right now.
Yeah.
You can just, you know, bake some bread and, you know, enjoy your family or your online friends, you know?
I think really it just needs some hard truth. I will step out and I will say that I believe that motivation is a level of willingness to do something. And that willingness is actually a decision. And so if the dopamine that you're getting from hanging out on the couch doing social media is greater than the reward you receive at that moment from going down and working on that opus that you know that you want to work on and you're passionate about, but you're not getting the same thing from it at that moment, then you're simply making a decision that, hey, my addiction to social media here is going to outweigh my desire to go do that. And that's a decision. I think that motivation is you got to put yourself up on that bench and point at yourself and go, hey, you're the one calling the shots here.
Right.
And you either motivate yourself to do it or you don't. And, you know, are you willing to do this or not? And I know that's tough. And I'm not preaching I'm preaching to the choir because I'm right there with you on the couch. But I'm just saying I got
enough time doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to admit to myself that that's the case sometimes. And other times I'm highly motivated. And, you know, those are always things that are the hardest are the ones that you want to do. For yourself, for your own creativity, and those things. And so trying to pull it together to, you know, make all those things that you think need to come together happen, you know, you keep doing that, you'll never get it done. So it's, you know, you just sort of got to throw yourself into it sometimes. And
yeah, well, I think it comes back to balance. Like everybody needs downtime. Like you said very wisely, and that's one of those things that now I repeat all the time. Like you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to sometimes.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, recharging your batteries means binge watching a favorite show, and then you feel better, and now you have some emotional energy in the tank now, and you can go work on some stuff. But, you know, and sometimes it is procrastination. And one thing I want to say about procrastination is that hesitation always comes from fear. And if you're procrastinating, you're probably afraid of something. And you have to, speaking of hard truths, take a step back. That thing that you say is important, step back and say, is it really important? And if it is, what are you afraid of that's causing you to not do it, do something else instead? Do you fear failure? Do you fear success? Do you fear that somebody's going to laugh at you? Do you fear, I don't know. There's those are the hard truths that you only you can answer for yourself. But, and I'm, of course, speaking from great experience here as somebody who has put off important things for every fear under the sun and continues to do so. But these are things you have to ask yourself.
We have some like primary emotions or root emotions.
Sure.
Fear being one of those. And you can take different emotions and they sort of, and you can put them together and you can like create like compound things, you know? So if you put fear and anger together, that could end up being a violent behavior or something like that, you know?
Right.
Or like sadness and shame, maybe, you know, it would lead to a depressive state or something like that, you know, to where you create these compound things. Your interest in things and how much you are passionate about something, you know, that is also a primary emotion. So you basically have conflicting root emotions. So if you have something rooted in fear, which results in procrastination,
right,
then, you know, that is more powerful at that moment than your passion and interest in the other thing that you want to do. And then as you don't succeed in doing that, you spawn other things that are root emotions like shame. Disgust and shame and stuff like that that build onto the other stuff. And then you get angry at yourself, you know, because of that. And then you have a more fear built up. And this
I'm starting to take this very personally, Doug.
It just rolls over you. Okay. So, you know, that's this like build up of negativity, you know.
No, what I want to say to that is that the other part of fear is that whenever you push the boundaries of your comfort zone, you know, your mind and body want to stay in the same place because it knows it's safe and comfortable. And when you push that boundary, you push that comfort zone, try to go somewhere you've never been before, do something you've never done before, stretch and reach and grow. Part of your mind and body wants to say, no, that's not safe. That might be dangerous. Come back to where you're safe, which is the couch and Netflix and Twitter. And so you kind of have to realize, okay, there's no, you know, wild animals chasing me or, you know, cavemen with spears. I'm not actually in danger here. I'm just writing a song or I'm just, you know, doing this creative project. This is not something that's really dangerous. I don't actually need
like
to be afraid of this.
When you sit down to compose a song, does the hair on the back of your neck raise up and you go like running up the stairs or something? You
know? Only if it's really good.
So look, exactly. And I didn't want to end, like, I just said like a whole bunch of negative stuff. But the thing is that there's the whole other side of that, which is all the converse of that, which is all the positive stuff, which could even have greater amplitude of positivity than the negative side with your interest in, and, you know, maybe amazement of things that you've come up with and rather than disgust, you know, you have this, more of a joyous type of feeling, you know, and you enjoy what it is that you're doing and you find a new appreciation in that type of thing. So, you know, for as much as there is negative that you could go into, you could just have the same kind of rolling effect that builds on itself in the joyous side too.
Absolutely. And how many times have you like put something off and put something off and put something off and then you finally go to do it and you're like, oh, that wasn't nearly as bad as I thought. It didn't take me nearly as long as I thought. And I kind of enjoyed it. Now that it's done, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, what a relief.
What a relief. I would say like, what, 100% of the time?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've sat there, in astonishment, thinking, what was the big deal? Why was I so held up on this whole thing?
So many times.
When I came to do it, it was so much easier than I had imagined. I had built this thing up into such a barrier and of something that I had talked myself into something I couldn't even do. I couldn't even approach. I couldn't start it because I know I couldn't do it. To the point where I get to do it out of some sort of exasperation that it has to be done and realize that it was really awesome to do this and I had fun and it wasn't as bad as I thought and I was really happy with it when it was done or something.
Right. Like almost every time, right?
Yeah, it happens.
So often. Oh, I'm thinking of Mary Poppins. And like, if you're having trouble getting motivated to do something, just remember the part where she's like,
I'm not thinking just of Mary Poppins.
Snap. It's a game. You know, if you make a game out of it, I do this all the time. I challenge myself to do stupid things like, you know, mix a song with only stock plugins or mix a song with only plugins I've never used before, or, you know, write a song in a key that I can't sing in. You know what I mean? I mean, I just do this.
I was definitely going more towards to like the sound myself. And music thing, though, but.
Oh, you know, I've never seen that. We own it too. And I feel bad. Speaking of shame spirals, I feel terrible that I've never seen The Sound of Music. I'll put that on my list for this weekend, I guess.
Yes, on the to-do list now.
Yeah, it's going on my Trello board.
That's a tool I haven't used in about a year now.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Since we planned out this podcast, I haven't used it.
I keep retooling it to kind of like work with my workflow. I started out with the whole getting things done workflow, and I couldn't quite make it to that, but I have my own modified version of that now. And I have my homework on there, and I have this on there. And I still use the paper lists more than I use that, but I still find it very useful. I like that you can make backgrounds relevant to the board. Anyway, that's all.
Yeah,
that's a whole different thing.
Well, you like backgrounds in general. Your whole like Zoom background.
I'm very visual. Yeah, I do this. Yeah. I do the daily Zoom background. Today it was the Harry Potter dining hall was my Zoom back. Tomorrow I'm going to do the Game of Thrones Iron Throne. This is how I keep myself amused on my stupid work Zooms that I have to be in all day. Yesterday it was Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers. I have not seen that one.
Yeah, it's fun. I got to keep myself amused. I got to keep myself motivated.
Yeah. So, listeners, what do you do to keep yourself motivated? Or how do you approach motivation? What do you do when you're in a spiraling pit of procrastination? How do you get out of it?
How do you get out of the spiraling pit of despair? No. But yeah, what do you do on those days when you just don't feel like doing something? Do you make Sit yourself do it? Or do you just give yourself a pass and say, you know what, today I don't need to do this, but tomorrow I will get up and do this?
Yeah, sometimes that's the thing, you know?
So yeah, sometimes it's just giving yourself a break.
Set a new intention. So it's okay to give yourself a break.
Just give yourself a break and say, you know what, I'm not going to beat myself up over this. I'll just come at it fresh tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, there's sometimes you just need rest more than you need anything else.
That's a fact. And I think we don't give ourselves a break enough.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
I was just exploring the silence.
Oh. Yes. Enjoy the silence.
That's what it sounds like when I'm on the couch doing social media.
Exactly. Sounds like a bunch of nothing. And then an hour goes by. You're like, oh, I guess I don't have time to do that thing after all.
I'm doing research into my noise floor.
That's a good one. All right, Doug, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Listeners, we thank you as always for sticking with us.
Yes, we do.
And our thank you for dorky conversations. And we'll be back soon with another indie music podcast.
Yes, we will. Have a great week.
Thanks. Have a great week.
Cheers.
Bye. Well, that's it for another episode of the Indie Music Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, leave us a comment or a review and share with your friends. Hit us up on our website at indiemusiccast.com. Find myself on Twitter at Mojo's Army. Find Douglas on Twitter at Rezo Studio. Thanks. Until next time, keep creating.